Hebrews chapter 11. I'll begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." 2 weeks ago, I gave you the first point. As we're going through this series on faith, I gave you the first point of this particular message that I'll review quickly, and I titled it, The Journey of Faith. And again, we've been going verse by verse through this, and it just kind of seems right here that the author just kind of pauses a moment here and kind of gets us to reflect about a few things before he picks back up again, talking about the different individuals and their faith. Last week, two weeks ago, I challenged you with this thought of looking at three exciting realities that we discover along this journey of faith that we're on. Three exciting realities. While I'm thinking about it, before I forget, many of you have been asking about our website. We're just going through some difficulties right now. We honestly don't know what's wrong with it. Something happened, and Alex has been working with the individual who put together our website. I've had, it's crazy, I've had a bunch of people asking me and calling me about our sermons, and people who don't even go to church here, just around the country, that are asking about our sermons and what's going on with the podcast and everything. So I apologize for that. As soon as we get it up and running, we will catch back up with all the messages, but right now it's just kind of in limbo until we figure out what's going on. So pray for that. That would be fine. But last week, or 2 weeks ago, I keep saying that, 2 weeks ago we looked at the first one, and that was experiencing the new life. In verse 12, again, the story there is talking about Sarah and Abraham giving birth to Isaac, and how they didn't really believe it at first. And again, the wording here that the Lord uses to me is just, you ever read some passages and it's just comical? It's just like, you know, I believe God has a sense of humor. There's just weird things that take place that just make me laugh. Like, you know, spitting in the dirt and wiping in the guy's eyes. And there's just crazy stuff that I don't really know why he did it, but God just chose to do it that way. But there's some passages that just crack me up. This one is one of them. "Therefore sprang there even of one," talking about Abraham. And it says, "and him as good as dead." I love that phrase. I mean, God is just like throwing Abraham under the bus. You know, Abraham's as good as dead. You know, if we can give a child through him, I mean, we can use anybody anymore. But experiencing the new life, and that's really where Abraham and Isaac both were. We're talking about 100 years old and 90 years old, giving birth, and how they just trusted God, and God gave them a new life. And we talked last week about the necessity of the, or 2 weeks ago, about the necessity of the new life. Just trust in the Lord, through salvation we have that new life that we can experience and just enjoy the journey along the way. And then the nature of the new life, and how now that we're saved, we have the ability to be partakers of the nature of Christ. And that'll be something that we embrace. And then pick up number two here tonight. Not only experience the new life is one of the realities along this journey, but the second one is experience the new sight. Look at verse 13. "These all died in faith." Who's he talking about? All the ones that we've talked about so far. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." In other words, none of these patriarchs saw the complete fulfillment of God's promises. God made the promise to Abraham, but Abraham didn't see what was going to come of Israel. He didn't know everything that came through that. And they didn't know it either, but the Bible says that they saw from afar off what God was doing. They were experiencing a sight that maybe they didn't completely understand yet, Obviously, it was overwhelming. You're going to have a kid. I'm 90 years old, God. This ain't happening. I mean, and on and on and on throughout all these individuals that we've talked about so far. Noah, hey, Noah, it's going to rain. It's going to what? What's that? I mean, you're talking about claiming promises that they had no idea of what was going to happen, but just trusting God, seeing from afar off what God is doing. Sight, and you'll understand this, sight is very important when traveling. You want to know that your sight is good, and you not only must be able to see as you go along your journey, but you also have to have some kind of a vision for your destination. I don't get lost when I'm traveling. I mean, I might not know where I'm at that moment, but I know my directions. I know north, south, and east, and west, and I'm the kind of person that my wife will tell you, if I'm lost, I can sense it immediately. I made a wrong turn. I just know it. Landmarks are in my mind. If I've been by a place, if I go by it 5 years later, I'll remember how I got there and what roads I took. I just have a real good mind and memory with vision. I don't see Chris here tonight. We'll beat him for that later. But Chris uses his GPS to get from his bedroom to his bathroom. Right? I mean, he's been coming to church here for years, and I know he uses his GPS every time he comes here because he will end up in Nantucket or something. I mean, he is just lost as a billy goat in a tornado if he doesn't have his GPS with him. I mean, he just doesn't have a clue. But not only do you need to see the direction you're going in, but you got to have some kind of a vision of your destination. Want to know where your ending point is. When we do moving jobs, you know, I use my GPS, but I want to know where I'm going to end up. I want to have an idea, not only of where I'm starting. Friday I was down in Westminster or Warminster or somewhere, down south of here, and I had to go from there up to Lee Heighton. So like as soon as I pulled out, I was going through Lansdale, but I had an idea. I know I need to get to the highway. I knew up near Beltsville Lake and the streets around there. We actually moved a guy in a block away from Lighthouse Baptist Church, exactly where it was. So you want that vision of that destination. I read a quote where an individual said, "The important thing is not what we live in, but what we live for." And these men in the Bible and these women in the Bible, these people of faith, lived in tents. Think about that. They lived in tents, but they knew that there was a heavenly city waiting for them. Our sight, if you will, our spiritual focus must be centered around the promises of God, not around the limitations of our sight. And that's important. If my mind is focused on heaven and the things of God and the promises of God, hey, my sight's going to discourage me at times. My focus is going to get out of focus at times. I'm going to get discouraged if I get my eyes off of the prize and off of what the big deal is. If I start paying attention to all the little details all around, it can get discouraging. Look, if I go into Times Square in New York City, and I despise going into New York City, but if I go into New York City in Times Square, I immediately am discouraged. I get in there and I look around and I'm like, wow, Christianity is not even making a dent. When I see the wickedness that just is so prevalent in our society. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God's promises are always fulfilled either immediately or ultimately. If you're not getting the answer now, ultimately it will come to fruition. They always come to pass. In the very next chapter, in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, you know the verse, looking unto Jesus. Again, looking. There's our sight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what is that? He saw the destination. Didn't mean he liked the journey to the cross, but he was going there for a purpose. He was going there for a reason. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How then do we experience new sight on our journey of faith? Well, in verse 13, there's a couple things that stand out. The first one is a persuasion of the promises. Look here again. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Look at this next phrase. And were persuaded of them. And were persuaded of them. What's the them? The promises. They were persuaded of the promises. Abraham and Sarah could not claim God's promises on their own, but they could see them and pursue them because they were persuaded by those promises that they were true. They believed God, and you will only pursue in life what you believe to be true. If you don't believe it, you're not going to pursue it. But if I believe something, and I believe the Word of God, and I believe what God says is true, and I believe the promises of God, then that's what I'm going to spend my life pursuing. Why? Because I'm persuaded by them. In 2 Timothy 3:14, the Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." You know, the truth is, sometimes we can be persuaded to believe and follow a lie. We want to follow the truth. We want to continue in the things that we've learned. We want to continue in the things that we've been assured of by the Word of God. Why? Because we think about who taught them to us and who taught them to them and who taught them to them. When I first started the church 12 years ago, that first year, I believe it was the first year, it may have been the second year, I was younger at the time. I was 28 and 29 years old. And a lot of new converts, a lot of new folks. And here was my mentality. They're not necessarily going to buy what this 28, 29-year-old kid has to say. And so what I did was, and some of you that were here, you'll remember this, I went for about 12 or 13 weeks on a midweek service, and I got videos. And I played videos of some of the great preachers of yesteryear. I mean, we watched Billy Sunday. We watched Bob Jones Sr. We watched Brother Hiles, Lester Roloff, Tom Malone, Lee Robertson. I mean, we watched some of the guys that just, I mean, they set the standard for old-time religion and the preaching and all that entailed that. And why? Because I wanted the people who were coming to our church to know this isn't something new. We're not preaching a new religion. This isn't some new belief. This is actually what has always been preached, and unfortunately a whole lot of denominations have veered away from and gotten away from. There was a day, 100 or so years ago, when you could pretty much go in a Methodist church and hear good old time Bible preaching.
That's right.
Or a Presbyterian church. Or some other congregational churches. Nowadays, I wouldn't trust any of them. Because of how they destroy the Word of God. The Bible says in Matthew 27:20, "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." See, sometimes we can be persuaded, but that persuasion is to follow a lie. Sometimes men will not be persuaded by the truth, but there are times when, you know what? You got to leave it in God's hands. In Acts 21:14, the Bible says, "And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" There's been times when I'm out soul winning and knocking on doors, and I'm talking to an individual, and I'll go through the plan of salvation, and I mean, they will look at me eyeball to eyeball, and I will say to them, "Do you understand if I walk away and you reject Jesus Christ, you understand you're going to hell? You know that, right? You know that's the state that you're in right now?" "Yes." "But you're choosing to reject him anyway?" "Yes." "Okay. Nothing I can do. I'm not going to force anybody to trust the Lord. It's got to be the Holy Spirit wooing them and leading them, but it's got to be a choice that they make as well." And I understand that. You say, "You know what? There's times you just got to step back and say, 'You know what? I've done everything I can to persuade you of the truth. I got to leave it in God's hands.'" Some of you might have unsaved loved ones and family members that you just wish to God they would just listen to you. Listen to the Word of God. But they won't. And it upsets you and it grieves you, but you gotta pray and you gotta fast and you just gotta beg God to make that difference. He has to do it. It can't be from the will of man. John chapter 1 teaches that. We're not born again by the will of man. So we're not gonna force anybody. It's got to be by God. I hope there are great many promises in the Bible that you're persuaded of and are following with all your heart. Paul was persuaded of some things in Romans chapter 8 verse 38. Paul says, "For I am persuaded." that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said, I'm persuaded of this. I'm persuaded of this. He also says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul was persuaded of some things. He says in Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Paul said, I'm persuaded that what God said, what God promised, is real, is true, is accurate, is reliable. And when I think about experiencing the new sight, that I'm not even in heaven yet, I haven't even seen Jesus Christ yet, I'm believing in somebody that I haven't seen, in a place that I haven't been to, but it's not about my sight getting off, I believe it, I'm going to experience it. Why? Because I am persuaded by the promises of God. But then it goes on to say in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. Not only was there a persuasion of the promises, but there's an embrace of the promises here. Embrace, here, it's talking about taking up the cause, the ideology, the practice, or the method of someone, and use it as one's own. If I'm going to embrace an idea, that means somebody else had the idea and I'm embracing it as if it's mine. God doesn't want you just to simply stop at being persuaded of the promises. That wasn't enough. God wants you to embrace the promises in such a way that you'll take up the cause of Christ and the promises of God here now and live them as if they're your own. Not just say, hey, I persuaded what God promised to Abraham and Sarah, but I'm embracing what God promised to Abraham and Sarah, that the same promises they're embracing of a heavenly city one day are the same promises that I'm going to embrace today. Look, one of the blessings to me when I see Austin or Tony or anyone that's leading, singing or picking songs or doing the offering or helping out in the classes or singing or wanting to do things of God or reading the Bible, when I see the young people doing that, what are we doing? We're teaching them to embrace the same belief system that we embrace, that somebody taught us to embrace, that somebody taught them to embrace, all the way back to the time of Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. We're passing it on. Abraham and Sarah embraced God's plan for their life. By the way, so should you. So should you. The Bible says, and you know the reference well, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What's the result of being in meditation in the word of God day and night? Verse 3 tells us he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What happens when he's planted by the rivers of water? He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's embracing the promises of God. God tells me that if I'm meditating on the word of God day and night, and that I'm applying verse 1 where I don't get counsel from the ungodly, and I'm not going to stand in the way that the sinners are, and I'm not going to be around them, and I'm not going to be in that same area sitting down and fellowshipping with those who are scorners of the things of God, and I'm just going to get in the word of God. That's what I delight in. I delight in the word of God. When I delight in the word of God, God says, my promise to you is you will prosper. Your leaf won't wither. You'll have roots that are planted down deeply, so when the storms come and blow, you're not going to go anywhere. Amen. Third thing we see here in this experiencing the sight in verse 13 is we see a confession of this pilgrimage. He says, talking in the middle down, he says, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These old-time saints of God confessed That doesn't mean they professed. They weren't saying something. They confessed. They were in agreement with God. They had an understanding, and they were guilty, admitting they were guilty, that they were not of this place. You know the old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I just can't feel at home in this world anymore." You know, you'll find the closer you get to God, the more homesick you get for heaven, and the more sick you get of this country down here. We're on a journey, and while we're on this journey, we've got to be careful not to become too comfortable here. Why? Because this is a foreign land. This isn't our home. This isn't where we're staying. Growing up, over the last 12, 13 years, while on vacation, we've stayed in lots of hotels, and we've stayed in relatives' homes. But you know what? That place wasn't home. We knew we weren't staying there. We were guests, we were travelers, we were passerbys, we were on our way through. We were on a pilgrimage, if you will, to a different destination. And you know, it's time that we continue passing through this world. I mean, can you honestly confess tonight that you are a stranger on this earth? You are a pilgrim on this earth? This is not your final resting place? Do you feel more home in the world than you do with Christ? Because if you feel comfortable and at home down here, there's something wrong. I mean, we ought to be looking for that city. Maybe some of us feel so at home in this world because this world is our home. We're not passing through. You've heard the statement, if it looks like a duck and acts like a duck and sounds like a duck, it's probably a duck. Sometimes people, they're so comfortable in this world and comfortable with this whole system that's going on in this world and the philosophies of this world. They have no desire for the things of God. Again, if it walks, quacks, and looks like one, it probably is one. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. There's a good indicator of your loyalty and commitment to experiencing the new sight Jesus gives you by asking yourself the question, am I following him? Am I following him? Jesus doesn't give you new sight so you can continue following the devil. Jesus said, hey, here's some new sight for you to experience. Just go ahead and go back to Egypt. That wasn't the point. The point was so that you'll follow him. That's why he gives you new sight. And he says in John chapter 8 verse 45, "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." I learned a long time ago, spiritual people like spiritual food. You preach the word of God and God's people want to hear it. That's why you're back on a Sunday night. That's why in your schedule you're not working, you're here on a Thursday night. That's why you come to sit. Why? Because spiritual people want to be spiritually fed. Just like people like you and I, when we get hungry, we want to eat. And you know, spiritual people, they want to get fed too.
Right.
Experience the new life, experience the new sight, and thirdly tonight, experience the new country. Every journey has a destination. Our journey through this world will end at a great new country prepared by God for his children. That place is called heaven. Many years ago, Brian, you'll remember this, Brian and myself and a few other folks, we were going up to Gaylord, Michigan for a tent meeting. And we rented it's the first year they came out, the Chrysler 300 Cs. That was fun. And we had the navigational system right there on the panel. Never seen anything like it before. I mean, it was like a pearl color, and we were road tripping to a tent meeting. And I remember we put in there, we went onto that navigational system, and we put in the place where we were going. At county town road or county line road or something like that, and it popped up, and I was like, sweet, go. And off we went. Now we knew how to get, once we got to 75, to go north. We're cruising along there, and we're following, and it tells us to make a right, and your destination is on the right. I made a right, and we sat in the middle of a huge field. I mean, there wasn't a church building anywhere near us, let alone a Bible college and all these other things that this place is supposed to have. I said, man, we're in trouble. I don't have a clue where we are. And called up the church and found out there was three or four roads with the exact same name that had a matching number. We were still, what, like 4 hours away? I mean, it wasn't like we were around the corner. We were in southern Michigan, and we need to get way up to the top of Michigan. We got to the wrong destination. And I got to be honest with you, there's a lot of religious folks today. They're going to be surprised when they get to their destination. People say, well, we were sincere. We were sincere about where we were going to. You can be sincere, and you can be sincerely wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. Be at the wrong destination. You know the verse well when we talk about heaven. Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, even if I wasn't King James only, which I am, I would have a hard time with the NIV and other Bibles that take the word mansion out and just put like apartment in there. Or house or shed. Rooms. No, I like my mansion. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but my mansion, I've already put in a special order, is going to have a full-size 100-yard football field in there. It's going to have a basketball court in there. It's not going to have anything to do with the Eagles on there at all. Matter of fact, no Eagles fans will even be in heaven. God already told you that too. Brother Ben's not joining. He's done. He's out. I mean, I want a swimming pool with a high dive. But because it's heaven and we can't die, I want like a 100-foot high dive with like 4 inches of water. Because I can't die, so I was like, this was cool. How many of you think dogs are going to be in heaven?
Amen.
I don't even have to ask the next question, because there will not be any cats in heaven.
Amen.
No cats in heaven. They are all possessed with a demon. They will go back to from whence they came.
Not true.
First church split. Here we go.
All right, all the cat people on that side.
You know, speaking of dogs, there's a way you can find out who your best friend is.
Amen.
Your wife or your dog. There's a way to find out. Take your wife and your dog and stick them in the trunk for an hour. Open the trunk and find out which one's happy to see you. You'll know who your best friend is at that moment. And if any of you men try that, let me know how that works. We will sign you up for counseling right away. How many of you have people waiting for you in heaven?
Hey.
You can't wait to go see. June 23rd, 1986 was when my dad passed away. And my dad was saved. Boy, I can't wait to see him. Oh man, I can't wait to see him. My grandparents, my grandmother got saved on her deathbed. Actually, I was in Bible college. My sophomore year of Bible college, it was in the fall. And got the phone call that my grandmother was dying, and one of my good friends, Elise, was traveling back home. And I said, can you please go witness to my grandma? Man, I've witnessed her so many times. Can you please go witness to her? And she said, yeah. And so I got the phone call the next day. She said, your grandmother got saved.
Amen.
And I said, well, tell me about it. She says, your grandma's hilarious. She said she trusted the Lord. She looked up at me and she said, now how come my grandson never told me this? Unbelievable. But that's okay. She's in. That's all I care about. People I've won to the Lord. You know, those of you that have been around Harvest for a long time, aren't you excited about seeing Brother Chet one day?
Amen.
I mean, I guarantee he's walking around singing "It Is Well With My Soul."
Verse 4.
Carmella.
Amen.
I still have her. I need a new phone and answering machine because mine is just, it lasts, I'm in a conversation for 2 minutes and it cuts out on me, but I don't want to get a new one because I have Carmella's voice on my answering machine. The very last Sunday that she was alive, she called me that morning and said, "Pastor, I'm too sick to be in church today." And a week later she passed away. And I still have that message on my answering machine. I play it every once in a while. But I tell you what, I'm excited about experiencing the new country.
Amen.
But we're still here. And we're still on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And quickly, if I can just give you a couple things. As we're traveling this journey, when we're talking about experiencing the new country, can I help you with something? Number one, forget the old country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at verse 15. "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." Abraham didn't keep looking back after he left the city of Ur. Didn't do that. God wanted him looking forward to the promised land as he journeyed by faith. He was trusting God. You know, if you've been saved here today, God wants you to forget about that old life. How many of you have been saved more than 20 years? Raise your hand. More than 20 years? Raise your hand. Oh, a lot of folks, almost. How many of you been saved more than 30 years? They don't say more than 30 years. More than 40 years? 50 years? How many of you have been saved for less than 5 years? Raise your hand. You've been saved for less than 5 years. I'm going to put your hands up. Can I tell you one of the best things you can do? I don't care if you've been saved for 5 minutes, 5 years, or 50 years. Forget the old life.
Amen.
Forget it. I mean, just put it so far behind you. And we all have different testimonies. I mean, I got saved when I was 11, grew up in a Christian home. There's a lot of that old life that you talk about, the old life, and your old life is not my old life.
Yeah.
You know, my old life was like, you know, chewing bubblegum in the hallway and I got in trouble for it. I mean, that was my old life. For some of you, your old life is a lot worse than that. Well, I don't understand, man, when you get saved by the amazing grace of God, why in the world would you want Egypt all over again?
That's right.
It makes no sense to me. God wants us to forget about that. And Paul says in Philippians 3:13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Forgetting those things which are behind. "And reaching forth unto those things which are before." Can I tell you, Christian, tonight, one of the best things you can do is exactly what Paul did. Forgetting those things which are behind. I so appreciated Troy's testimony the other week where he didn't want to dwell on Amen. The things of his past. And he has a hard, hard, hard past. He goes, "Man, I just want to dwell on what God's going to do going into the future." Why should we forget? What's the reason for forgetting those things which are behind? I can give you one really good reason. Because God's chosen to forget about them too.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome about salvation? All your sins are washed away. All your sins are under the blood. As far removed as the east is from the west. Buried in the depths of the sea. Look. And it's not, you gotta be careful with our wording here. It's not that God forgot them. God doesn't have amnesia. God didn't forget them. God chooses not to remember them anymore. There's a big difference there. Bible says in Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And if God's willing to forgive and bury them and not remember them anymore, would to God we would do the same thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 10, just a chapter back in verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." I tell you, one of the greatest joys about salvation is God forgot about my past.
Amen.
God forgot about my past. And if God forgot about my past, hey, if the devil ever reminds you about your past, remind him about his future.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's good.
Not only forget about the old country, but can I say this too? Forge toward the new country. Look at verse 16. but now. There was a previous verse. If they thought about it, they could have went back. Verse 16, though, but now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That's where Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that word press there means to force or impel in an indicated direction. This is where I'm going. This isn't where I'm just kind of neutral, but I'm pushing. And anyone, you're either going with me or you're getting out of the way and getting trampled on. Those are your only options. We're going to exert pressure. We're going to move in a direction. It doesn't mean that it was easy. It wasn't easy for these saints, and you've read this chapter before. I mean, they were sawn asunder. They were thrown to the lions. This wasn't easy. This wasn't an easy journey for them. And in 2013, it's not an easy journey for you. It's not easy to raise children in society today. It's not easy to take a stand for God in our workplaces today. I mean, it's so sad to, you know, we want to, Brother Joel sent me think about Starbucks today and something that was incorrect, actually. But all the, you know, take a stand against them because they're for homosexual marriage. Cheerios is for homosexual marriage. JCPenney's is for homosexual marriage. Home Depot. Levi's Jeans. I mean, Disney, you can go right down. It's so, everybody wants to be so politically correct today, nobody wants to be biblically correct anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're the weirdos, and we're the outcasts, and we're the bigots, and we're the homophobes, and all the other intolerant speech that they want to put towards us, even though they're tolerant. Folks, it's not going to get any easier. The Christian life is not an easy life to live, but you've got to keep going forward. Why? Because there's a new and glorious city waiting for me where my Savior is.
Amen.
My Savior who died, I mean, we sang about him tonight. And our children are singing about them and, you know, doing the song, even the sign language, he's able.
Amen.
And Paul said, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How's your journey of faith tonight? You say, I'm traveling. Okay, but in order to travel, you have to be moving. There's no travel if you're not moving. If you don't move, you don't travel. But is it really possible not to move at all? I like crazy scientific stuff. Scientific measurements indicate that we're moving even when we're standing still. So that's weird. Continental land masses sit on enormous slabs of rock that slide very slowly at the rate of 1 to 8 inches every year. So even when you're standing, you're moving. America is gradually moving westward away from Europe at the rate of 3 inches per year. Now, if that doesn't blow your hair back, unless you're bald like Glenn, if that doesn't blow your hair back, consider this. Our Milky Way galaxy is hurtling through space at 375 miles per second. Do you feel like you're moving that fast? That's 1.3 million miles an hour. We're moving. I mean, I'm faster than Troy. 1.3 million miles an hour, but that's not all. Within our galaxy, the sun and its solar system are zooming along at 12.4 miles per second. That's 43,000 miles per hour in the direction of a star by the name of Vega in the constellation of Lyra. I mean, everything's moving. But we don't get dizzy. I mean, some of us are a little dizzy, but we don't get dizzy. I mean, we're standing here. We're not moving, but we're moving. It's the same thing spiritually. You are always traveling. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of where and in what direction and how you travel. I'd encourage you today, travel the journey of faith in God. Travel the journey. You're either going towards God or you're going away from God. How are you traveling today? I'm going the right way if I'm experiencing the new life. I know I'm going the right direction. I'm traveling the right way if I'm experiencing the new site. Not, I'm going the right way if I'm experiencing the new country. You ever just start thinking about living forever and it kind of freaks you out? I mean, I'm going to live forever with God.
Amen.
I mean, mansions, streets of gold, crystal river. How many of you cannot wait to have bodies that no longer experience pain? You know, Timmy and Tony are going to be running faster than any of us in heaven.
Amen.
No more medicine. No more arthritis. No more joints that hurt. No more joints to smoke. No more alcohol. No more drug users. No more... I don't even know what Joel said. All parents, keep your children away from Brother Joel at all costs. I mean, no more sickness, no more death, no more dying, no more tears, no more fear.
Come on.
Brand new bodies.
Amen.
Glorified, no more devil.
Yes.
No more Brother Glenn. You see how I said that all serious? Hey, wait a second. He almost amen that. Pat amen it. I tell you what, it's going to be a blast in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can't wait.
You know what? While we're here, let's enjoy the journey.
Come on.
I mean, let's just go all out living for God. Man, one day it's going to be worth it all.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? Can I just say? It's worth it right now.
Right. Amen.
Sure. It is worth it right now.
Yes.
To know I'm just passing through. God saved me. God's given me opportunities in my life to see things for my family. And just I envision God doing great things. But I want these young people here to remember the great days of your lives at Harvest Baptist Church. And I want to close with this. Has nothing to do with the sermon, kind of, but it's a good segue. Brother Frable's birthday is coming up April the 8th. He'll be 85 years old. Brother Frable is the longest standing member in this church besides my family. He's been here from the very first Sunday. His health is not good. You talk about sight, that's why he don't come back on Sunday nights. He can't see. He just doesn't want to take the chance. I want to have a surprise party for him somewhere around his birthday. I'll get a hold of you and let you know about it. I'm going to do something different. I want to get him out that night. I want to have an interview with Brother Frable. And what I mean by that is this man was a part of our country when our country was a strong, solid country. He's seen a lot. And he's got more wisdom in his pinky finger than most of us have in our whole body. He's just an incredible, gentlemanly man of God.
Yes, sir.
I want to pick his brain. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do over the next week or so. If there is a question or two that you wanted to ask Brother Frable, you don't have to put your name on it, or you can put your name on it. I want you to think of some ideas. The man was married for 60-something years before his wife passed away two years ago. He served in the military. He was a part of the Constitutional Party. I mean, he's just a rock-solid man of God. But maybe there's a question that you want him to, you may even know the answer, but you want to hear him say it in front of your families and your children and just kind of reinforce that. I want you to think of some ideas and get them to me. Just hand them to me. I'm going to put them in a little container that are just questions. I'm going to ask. I'm going to bring them up here. I'm going to sit them down, and we're going to get back on a Sunday night, and it's just going to be, you know how Joel Osteen has an evening with Joel? We're going to have an evening with Frable, an evening with Harold, and we'll have some cake for him after this, for all of us. We'll have a fellowship time, just that kind of stuff, and just be a blessing to him. I know he'll be mad at me for doing it because he absolutely despises attention in any way, but you know what? There are too many of that generation that are passing off the scene that our young people have no idea.
That's right.
What built this country, and I want them to be able to hear it right from the man. share some things. So you get some questions. You young people can do it too. Ask some questions. You know, write them on a piece of paper, and then I will collect them, and I'll give you a set date when exactly we're going to do that. We'll do that. All right. Let's all stand. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The journey of faith doesn't have to be miserable. You don't have to go through life kicking and screaming and hating everybody and being bitter. Nor do you have to go through life surrounding yourself with people who constantly are negative and pulling you down or pulling you away from God. I always say, don't let your friends choose you. You choose your friends.
Amen.
You choose who you allow to influence. We need some Christians tonight that'll covenant with God and say, Lord, help me, Lord, to enjoy the journey.
Yes.
Lord, I'm saved. I'm experiencing the new life. I'm experiencing new sight, Lord, and just a vision and a direction of myself, my own life with God, my family, my relationships, my church, my community. One day we're going to experience that new city. How do we do that? Forget the old one and just forge to that new one. Stay focused. The piano begins to play. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight in some way. The altar is open. I want to come and do business with God today. Would you do that, Christian? Just ask the Lord to strengthen your resolve. You young people that are here and you're saved, hey, you ask God to help you to experience the new life.